Defense Secretary Ash Carter says the U.S. military is starting to look like a family business. No, not that kind of family. Too many new recruits coming from too few places. As Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu reports, Carter's rolling out new policies to encourage the armed services to recruit from a broader swath of the American population.
Several of the changes deal with DOD's Reserve Officer Training Corps program. Those are already responsible for commissioning about a third of the military's officers through colleges and universities scattered across the country. But Carter says too many experienced officers suffer negative career consequences for agreeing to serve as ROTC instructors rather than accepting more traditional command assignments.
This can make the job less appealing to those who want to advance up the ranks, making some good officers who want to make yet more good officers unable to choose to do this. And now, fortunately, that's not always the case. My senior military assistant in the Office of the Secretary of Defense instructed future Marine officers in the Navy ROTC program at Texas A&M. So did our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Joe Dunford, the first ever chairman, by the way, to have done so. And that not only gave him critical insights into the generation of officers he would lead in the future, it also helped him build closer ties between us and that community. Teaching leadership on a college campus is something DOD should reward, and we need to encourage and make it easier for our best people to do so. And that's why I've directed the military services to ensure their officer promotion and selection boards more appropriately value those who serve as ROTC instructors.
The Pentagon will also increase the number of 2- and 3-year ROTC scholarships it offers to college students, hoping to attract students who didn't know about the program until after they started college. And to boost the military's pipeline of officers with science, technology, engineering, and math skills, DOD plans to sponsor high school students to shadow ROTC cadets who specialize in those fields. Carter says the department will also begin collecting and analyzing more data about which ROTC programs are working most effectively across the country.
Right now, we don't have a way to know which units are doing great things that others might want to consider adopting, in part because we have so many programs all over the country, more, by the way, than at the end of the Vietnam War. So we're going to develop data-driven ways to accurately measure and assess which ROTC units are most effective in performing their mission, and we're going to look at much more than just how many officers they commission each year. Because quality and training and innovative ideas and things like reaching back into the local community and strengthening connections with the school are important too. ROTC units that stand out the most each year will be eligible for a new award recognizing their excellence, the Secretary of Defense ROTC Futures Award.
More broadly, the department will adjust its recruiting and marketing practices to address worries that its current recruits are coming from a shrinking number of geographic areas and a relatively small number of American families. DOD-sponsored research shows people with a parent who have served are twice as likely to join. The same is true of people from rural parts of the country. Currently, only 1 in 3 Americans has a family member who has served in uniform, and about 40% of new recruits are from just 6 states.
Most of our officers come from northern states. Well, the vast majority of our enlisted force comes from southern states. At the moment, military recruiting tends to be most successful in the South, the Southwest, Big Sky country, and most difficult in the Northeast. And that's paradoxical, since the Northeast is among the regions with the highest percentage of young Americans who have the qualifications to serve. So these geographic gaps represent an opportunity, a great opportunity for us to draw talent from places where we haven't been.
As one way to do that, the department will begin a long-term coordinated advertising campaign that emphasizes the value of military service as a whole, not just the military branch-specific TV ads run by each of the military services in the competition for new recruits.
And while the Defense Department used to advertise the value of military life as a whole, we got away from that over the last several years. In some ways, we were a victim of our own success with so many people signing up after 9/11 and the Great Recession. Now we're getting back into it and starting to advertise the value of military life and public service again in the services recruiting ads. In doing so, we're going to reach out and talk to American people wherever they are, which, as you know, isn't just on TV anymore, but increasingly in different places online. And we won't just speak to potential recruits, we're going to speak to everyone, including parents, grandparents, coaches, teachers, guidance counselors, and more who might influence a potential recruit. To truly have an effect, this has to be done in a sustained way and over a long period of time. We won't be selling the newest phones or trying to get you sign up for the newest credit card. Ultimately, what we're selling is service and mission.
The Pentagon is also aiming to increase the number of face-to-face interactions between people already serving in uniform or DoD civilian positions and people who don't ordinarily interact with the military. Carter says the department would make more use of its existing Starbase program. That's a STEM-focused education initiative for elementary school students. He says they'll also create a new DoD Speakers Bureau to coordinate addresses by DoD officials to local community groups and other organizations. Carter says the department will also make a new push to make sure its recruiters have access to high school campuses and information on their students, which is already a legal requirement under the Elementary and Secondary Education Act for schools that receive federal funds.
And while it seems many schools are complying with that, recognizing that DoD might offer their students an exciting and impactful careers, some others are putting up roadblocks. This is wrong. So as part of a new program to help recruiters, we're going to survey them and identify where exactly they face impediments to access and what the most useful types of access actually are, so we can educate those educators who may not be complying with the law or who may be making life harder on their students and recruiters and find a way to improve that. Our goal here is to better educate schools about our mission and help them realize they should want to let us in, because it would be a missed opportunity for their students if they don't.
And Carter says he's directed the military services to take a fresh look at potential barriers to recruiting. He says several recruiters have told him they have had to turn away too many promising candidates because of factors like tattoos, marginal physical fitness issues, or because they're single parents.
Now, some of these things we'll never be able to compromise on. We'll always have to maintain high standards. But at the same time, these benchmarks must be kept relevant for both today's force and tomorrow's, meaning we have to ensure that they're not unnecessarily restrictive. So we're going to review and update these standards as appropriate.
Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.